Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We go now to the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline, where we're joined by a man for all seasons. Whether it's baseball, whether it's football, whether it's anything Cleveland, Chris Rose is the go-to man, and he joins us now. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, guys.
What's up? Hi, Chris.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
How about you guys?
We're fine, too. Can you take any stock? Does it help the heart to watch the Browns actually come out after halftime, put together two scoring drives where they actually move the ball down the field, take a lead on the Lions, even though they're not able to put the game away?
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some good things. I really thought DeShone Kizer played exceptionally well. And I've actually said this since day one. The thing that's impressed me the most is that kid can take a pounding. I mean, he can take hit after hit, some because he doesn't understand when to slide, although I think that's gotten better in 2 months. Other times we leave people unblocked and he'll go crack a couple of ribs or whatever's going on there. So that part's great, that the kid is tough and he's been through a lot in a very short NFL career, and he actually made some NFL quarterback-looking throws on Sunday, right? I think we'd all agree, and
yeah.
I think we'd also agree that if it weren't for that major you-know-what up at the end of the first half, that he played like a legitimate quarterback the entire time. So that was good, and we still lost by 14.
Chris,
was
it on you, that play? I'm just curious because, you know, Hugh Jackson said it was on him, but I would tell you, I thought it was on me. Because I switched seats while I was watching the game. Was it on you,
probably,
that mistake?
Can I tell you something? So every Sunday morning, I get down to the NFL Network right before the early kicks, which are at 10 o'clock our time on the West Coast, and we all sit in this theater. It's a great setup we've got, and we have all 8 or 9 early games up in different size screens, and then you can put one game in the huge screen that you can hear all the audio on, okay? And that usually happens when a team's driving or something interesting has happened. So very rarely do the Browns get in the big screen, if you know what I mean.
Who right? gets to make the call on what's on the big screen?
That would be one of our exceptional coordinating producers, Chris Wirtz, who
okay.
I have begged now for the 5 or 6 years that I've worked there. I said, Wirtzy, please don't put the Browns in the center screen because something bad happens all the time.
So
he'll screw with me. He'll be like, Rose, there's no football going on in America. Everybody's a commercial break. I got to put the Browns in there. I was like, you can't. And right as it was the end of the half, guess which game goes in the center screen?
No! Browns. Congratulations.
Yes. So if you really want to blame this on somebody, don't blame it on our 21-year-old quarterback. Don't blame it on our head coach. Send the emails to Chris Wirtz at NFL Network, and then he will finally understand to never put the Browns in the center screen.
Does he have a Twitter account?
Oh, stop. No, I would never do that. Wirtzy's one of my favorite. I've worked with him ever since my days at Fox, and I can't do that to him. But he knows. He knows that he owes me one.
Chris, riddle me this. I've thought since before he was drafted by the Browns that Kizer would be a good NFL quarterback. And now that he's here, I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback for a long time to come. And after Sunday, I said to folks who I was watching the game with here, I said, you can't watch this and tell me this guy can't be a starting quarterback in the NFL. What do the folks that you work with at the NFL Network who have played the game think about what he's doing now and where he could be?
Well, I would, not to get too technical on you, but the one thing I really want to do is like sit down and watch film with a guy like Kurt Warner, which – I mean, like, pinch me. I'm really fortunate that I get to sit down with a Hall of Fame quarterback
exactly.
if I want to at any time, and he can tell me what he sees. And that's what I really need to do before kind of making a fan assessment, if you will. you know, the knock on Kizer, and we've seen it countless times in the first half of the season, is he locks in on a receiver. You can't do that at this level and be successful. I mean, check and see how many times Carson Wentz and Jared Goff this year have found their secondary or the third guy in the pattern and made a play. You know, the number one guy is not always going to be open at this level. And you've got to make those decisions so quickly. So that's going to tell you the difference between Deshaun Kizer, kind of a career journeyman who's going to get his chance because he's, you know, he's 6'4 and 230 and can run and has got a, you know, cannon for an arm, or a guy that's going to be a stable quarterback for over a decade. So, you know, when you watch it from the way we watched it on Sunday, you're like, yeah, why not?
Chris, let me throw this at you, okay? After Sunday's game, do you believe this team is going 0-16? I think there's some hope that came out of Sunday's game that makes people believe they will not go 0-16.
Well, two things. I think the Collins injury is going to crush us on defense.
Well,
I'm worried
point.
About that one.
Me too.
I just think that there's, you know, we've talked about this before in a Greg Williams defense, that if one guy's out of position, you can get gashed. And this was the worst that the run defense had played all year the minute the Collins left the game, right?
Right.
So that kind of scares me. But you look at the Packers game, and I know the Packers just won on the road against Chicago, but, you know, I'll still take my chances against Brett Hundley. And then, you know, Baltimore is kind of a flip-flop. They've got so many guys that are injured, and, you know, you hope that Flacco throws one or two to you, and you hope that you get past their defense a little bit. So those are the two games I would circle. I think everything else is, even the game Christmas Eve against in Chicago is, I think, tougher than those two, but I could be wrong.
So here you go against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that stepped up a little bit and doing some decent things. And I think Leonard Fournette, along with some of the other guys, have changed the way that people are thinking about running backs in the draft again. You know, those things seem to be cyclical. With that in mind, and if you're Sashi Brown and you're still employed at draft time next year, does that make you think Barkley more than you might have thought that in the past? Between Fournette and Kareem Hunt and Dalvin
Cook? Well, I don't know. I mean, last week I was the guy that was saying that if Houston's picks in the top 10, that you kick around the idea of drafting two quarterbacks, right?
Right.
So,
which, by the way, we had some fun with in a good way later. That was a good conversation.
Yeah, it was fun. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, how many big games has he had?
Well,
really, I mean, where he's taken over. He's, you know, he had a great kickoff return against the Buckeyes, but did he do anything else? Really?
Are you are you smelling Reggie Bush?
No, I think he'll be. Right. I think he'll be better than that.
All right.
And Reggie Bush had a good, solid career.
Sure,
but
he did.
Yeah, he never was. He was. I always said he was like Eric Metcalf. Like, he was the guy that you expected so much out of. And at the end of the day, you look at his career and you're like, it was pretty good. But you always wanted more because they were so electrifying. But, man, there's so many holes on this team right now. You know, I think we'd all agree that Crow's probably gone, right?
I would think
right?
So.
Yeah.
Free agency, you're probably not going to spend big money on him.
Well, they got the money. If they want to spend it, they can do it.
He might not get
the
big money.
Yeah, but that's just a position you don't spend.
I agree, but
you really,
if they wanted
unless
to.
Unless you're talking about top-tier talent, and even then it's risky. But we're talking about the top guys, you know, Shady McCoy, and Zeke will eventually get his contract most likely. Guys like that. And, you know, Fournette's pretty good to watch. I've watched a lot of Jags football this year. You guys will be impressed. Bortles kind of took a big step back last week. And, you know, this was a game that the Chargers had and just couldn't finish off. So if Bortles plays the way he did this past week, they're in trouble. Not this Sunday, but long term if they want to be a playoff team. But he's kind of stayed out of the way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the Browns also could draft Saquon Barkley, too, is another thought there. Yes, of course. All right, let me ask you this just real quick. Tyrod Taylor benched. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Buffalo has done a lot of turnover in a short time. You know, both their GM and their head coach came from Carolina, and that's why you saw the Kelvin Benjamin trade. So what they've done is they've unloaded a lot of guys that have kind of, you know, been part of the reason the Bills have been stuck in mediocrity the last several years. They've built up a bunch of draft picks, and they're moving forward as a franchise. And I think they look at Tyrod Taylor and they say, yeah, he's okay if you want to be 8-8. You know, we got to at least take a look at Nathan Peterman. There were some people that were really big on him as a sleeper coming out. And why not give him about half the season to see if he can do something at this level before we figure we got to make a move long term? So that's the way I see it. But they're just, I don't see them making the playoffs, even though I think they're the sixth seed as of right now. But I don't see them as a playoff team again.
Let's turn to your other network.
Yes.
So here you sit, free agency getting all cranked up. You're hearing Carlos Santana, Boston Red Sox, and you're not hearing you're not hearing that he's going to accept the qualifying offer to come back here, or maybe there is a long-term deal here for him. Where's he going to end up next year, Chris? What do you think?
Well, there was also a rumor that Seattle, and Seattle actually makes a lot of sense for him. I seem to remember a couple years ago I heard that he's fairly close with Robbie Cano. They led the league in errors at first base a year ago. We know how much Carlos has worked on his defense and became a really, really good glove over there. Switch hitter, gets on base, makes sense in that park, you know, has, you know, can go gap to gap at Safeco. That's huge. So that one wouldn't surprise me at all if he ends up in Seattle. I don't know if Boston's the right fit for him. I really think that they need a thumper. I mean, I'm talking about a legit 40-homer guy. That's what they were missing. They had the fewest home runs in the American League, so I'm not so sure that Santana fits the bill there. So I know that they don't have a first baseman, but there's a bunch of guys you could get if you just need a steady glove and somebody that can hit seventh in your lineup, kind of like what they had with Mitch Moreland a year ago. And as far as the Indians go, I would hope they're making an offer. He used to drive me nuts. Like 3 years ago, I would throw stuff at the TV when Santana was up. He'd drive me insane. But he really has matured as a player, and I would be happy if they brought him back for a 3-year $40 million, but I think he'll get more than that.
All right, 15 seconds, real quick. Corey Kluber, hands down tonight, Cy Young? Yes, no?
Not hands down, but I think he wins, and I think Scherzer tops Kershaw not by much in the NL.
Okay, and then also we're doing a thing where we're grading out quarterbacks coming out of college for next year. Who's your favorite Pac-12 quarterback?
Well, I don't watch a ton of it because Saturday's my lone day off during the fall. But, you know, I do watch. I make an appointment to watch Darnold whenever I can, and I just see his throws, and I'm a fan of what he does.
All right, I don't have him, so that doesn't matter. If you would have said Falk or Rosen, I would have been like, yeah, okay, cool. All right, thanks.
Chris, thank you.
Well, I've got to do a report on him. We're doing the school thing. Don't worry about it.
It's like we're in school, Chris.
But since you're out west, I figured I'd ask you.
I apologize. Sorry.
It's all right. You let me down.
Book reports. Chris Rose, MLB Network, NFL Network. Thanks, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.